Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. So there's Micah Parsons.
This was good.
In Japan. I wonder how the Cowboys feel about
in
this.
I mean...
In Japan, look, he's not at off-season workouts because he wants a new contract. C.J. Stroud and he are all over the place. I don't know why C.J. Stroud isn't with the Texans. That's a different issue. He was great last year. That's fine. But at some level, this is the kind of stuff
this guy's got him
injured.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get injured, so let's freaking enjoy it for right now, all right?
All right.
Look at this guy.
But he could have.
I know. He could have. But damn.
He's moving him.
Nah, he is.
He's moving him.
That guy's got him beat by at least 100 pounds, I would bet. So that just shows you, you don't understand how strong these guys like Micah Parsons are. Their legs on their ass. You can see he's got some legs there. But I hear you, Mike.
They're nervous.
They're nervous.
It's all fun. It's all fun until the injury happens. And again, I'm sensitive to it because when you practice law, you are dealing with all the stuff that nobody thought was going to happen. Oh, it's fine. You won't. What could go wrong? That leads to lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit. The court system is clogged with the downside of what could go wrong. You want to know what could go wrong? Just go to the courthouse and sit in on a few trials and you'll find out what could go wrong. But I have to wonder if the Cowboys are comfortable with it. And really, I mean, I keep seeing Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud all over Japan and Asia. And
right.
Again, C.J.'s incredible. Maybe he doesn't need to be around. But you'd think at some point he's going to want to, you know, Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell coming back from the injury and Nico Collins. I mean, you want to get there and get up to speed and get the most out of this offense. But I'm not going to doubt them after what they did last year.
No, I think they're two guys that are all in. And, you know, yeah, they're going to miss the first few days here, 2 weeks of just the team organized workouts. This thing that they're doing right over there in China and Japan and all that is something that's, I think, through the NFL, if I know that correctly, right? I think I'm right. Where they're kind of something they were trying to spread the game, and like they've been at camps. I've seen them doing camps Beijing, right? All right, so we'll check that out. I thought so, but you know, again,
here's a real question.
Right,
let me ask you this question.
Right,
sorry to interrupt you.
No,
but they're spending so much time together. They did something with the draft and like arguing,
Bleacher
like
old Report all the time,
and
right?
And it's
right,
great,
right?
At what point do they decide they want to play together?
Uh-huh.
And the question becomes:
right.
Does CJ go to Dallas? Or does Micah go to Houston? I think it's more likely right now Micah goes to Houston.
Maybe. Right? He might. But, you know, I don't know he's going to go right this second. They got Will Anderson, and they just signed Danielle Hunter. So I think they're a little maxed out in the pass rush department right there. But, yeah, they're two peas in a pod, those two. You could tell they really love football. They're into the history of the game a little bit. They know that, definitely. And, you know, there's still plenty of time this offseason. They'll get back after it here. I would think they're going to be back in action here sometime this week.
Well, Well, look, from Micah's perspective, as you've said, don't set foot on a field until you get your contract.
Right.
And that dovetails with my concern. You're out there, you know, you blow out a patella tendon pushing against giant sumo wrestler, you're never getting your contract, or at least not until you prove that you're the guy that you were before you blew out your patella tendon messing around with a sumo wrestler. So for his own personal financial interest, there's probably reason to be careful. But you're saying, and you've said, and I agree with you, don't even go to an off-season workout. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything until they take care of you. So CJ's, he's two seasons away before even being in a position to want a second contract.
Right.
Micah, doors open, and he should keep it closed until they take care of him, and we'll see if they do.
Yeah, we'll see if they do. And I was wrong. It wasn't anything related to the NFL. They were there strictly through their own thing in this Bleacher Report, right?
Might be a Bleacher Report thing,
yeah.
Right? Let's take them and let's put them on this trip and let's pay them a lot of money. And they do have a great natural chemistry together. I mean, it was fun seeing those clips of them from draft night bickering. It was great. It was just entertaining, and we all want to be entertained. We're here to give you some entertainment. Are you not entertained?
Oh, are you? Are you not entertained? Here it comes, baby.
Throwing the sword up into the stands. J.J. Watt, maybe he will entertain us because he's entertaining the possibility of emerging from retirement during the season to play for the Texans. Here he is on that possibility.
And I'm a very fortunate, lucky man. I've got a beautiful wife. I've got a beautiful son. I've had 12 great years in this league, and I'm very thankful to have walked away healthy and playing great. I told D'Amico last year, I said, don't call unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there. But he knows not to call unless he absolutely needs it. This is the last year I'll tell him that, because I'm not going to keep training the way I've been training, but he knows that if he ever truly does need it, I'll be there for him. But I don't anticipate that happening. They got a very good crew.
Keeping the door open for possibly playing for the Texans. You know, there was thought in the past that maybe he would end up with the Steelers playing with his brother.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a crazy
proposition. I'm with you. Right.
And if this is the last year he's going to train like that, this is the last chance to do it. This is your last shot to come back for one final opportunity at pursuing the Super Bowl ring he never won. He never even got to a Super Bowl. What's the closest he ever got?
Divisional playoff game.
Divisional round game.
Yeah.
The Texans have never been to an AFC championship.
Nope.
And then he went to the Cardinals after that, and that was after the sunset on the Cardinals teams that were, you know, pretty good within the past 7 or 8 years. So, yeah, if he fits perfectly within this mindset of pick a contender that has a need, kind of the Ndamukong Suh approach the past couple of years, Suh never came back and played last year. Wait for the right moment, get on the winning horse at the right time, and help propel that horse across the finish line. That's what J.J. Watt could be doing. And I don't think he's restricting it to the Texans. He's just sharing his conversation with D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Texans. He's a free agent. He's not on anyone's reserve retired list. Most recently, he played for the Cardinals. He's free and clear. He can go anywhere, anytime he wants, up to and including right before the Super Bowl he could sign with a team. He can sign anytime, any place, anywhere he wants to go.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, I know we talked like 2 weeks ago with Brady and him making his comments and all of that stuff, right? And I was kind of like, nah, I don't think that's really going to happen. This is one where I kind of go, I could see this happening. I could, you know, for the reasons he spoke about. You know, one, he's not out of the game too long. He's still at an age where, hey, he's still physically fit and, you know, and a young man compared to the rest of, you know, society, not in football world, but for the rest of the world, he's still a young man. And, you know, he's pretty open there about, like, yeah, he's still staying in shape within, like, football terms in shape. Like, that's obvious in his mind. He's still obviously doing football type of workouts to be ready there. So I'm with you in that, Mike, that, like, would I be shocked if some contender or whatever else, and they decide to call a J.J. Watt in week 14 and go, hey, you know, we need an interior D lineman. You know, we got 2 or 3 weeks left here at the end of the regular season. Why do you come here? Start getting in shape, get going, so you can be a real, you know, helper for our playoff run here. I don't think that would be far-fetched. Houston, the Steelers, like, you know, there's probably a few other teams out there, too, that he'd jump on and be a part of that, you know, little chase for the Super Bowl.
And a lot of it is driven by injuries and also opportunity to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Possibly win right. one. He's 35, turned 35 on March 22nd, and he, you know, he's had plenty of injuries. And he keeps fighting. And
yeah.
there was one occasion where he was in Philly. I think he had a hernia, and some of his quotes about just the despair. It's amazing he played as long as he did, because that's one of the things I respect the most, especially the guys closer to the ball. The closer to the ball you get, the more likely you are to get injured repeatedly and have to go through surgical procedures to get yourself back onto the field. You get injured, you bottom out, you do everything necessary to get yourself in a position where you can play again. Your body is a temple. You get it ready to go, and then you put yourself right back in harm's way, knowing more likely than not, you're going to be right back in that spot again with some other injury. And then you work to get yourself back into tip-top form as close to 100% as possible, and you go do it again. That is impressive. Some would say it's on the wrong side of sanity, but it is amazing.
Yeah, and right.
For him, where he is right now, I think the farther removed you get from the pain and the agony and the despair and the,
yeah.
oh, God.
And his body's healed and he probably feels good.
Yeah, you
right.
feel good.
Yeah,
you feel
right,
good.
Right.
And you also feel a void.
Right.
You feel a void in your career. Every year you see another team hoisting that trophy and getting their rings. And that's got to gnaw at you. And it's not just him. There's guys all throughout history. That was one of the big topics at the roast last night, how Randy Moss was one of the few guys who played with Tom Brady who didn't get a ring during his career. That kept going and going and going. It was a running bit the whole freaking night.
Yeah, him and
J.J.
Wes
Watt's
Walker,
gotta be,
right?
He's got to be feeling that idea that you know, I didn't get my ring.
Yeah, no.
Wes wasn't there.
Yeah.
Wes wasn't there.
No, yeah.
Your guy Kyle was there, not on the dais. Your guy Kyle was there in the audience.
Damn, they didn't get him on the dais. They didn't get him up there. Gosh, that's I'm disappointed in him. I thought he was bigger time, you know, bigger than that. Not that big time sitting in the audience. But yeah, it sounds like the NFL elite was there in full capacity last night. And JJ Watt, you know, teams that are contenders. Right? Ex-coaches that have relationships with him that are throughout the league, are they on any of the contenders? I think those are things we got to kind of watch out for. I mean, I think that's legitimately putting it out there when he says it that way. But, man, you just think about teams like, oh, wait, if Detroit got into week 16, 15, and they needed somebody, man, J.J. Watt seems like he'd be Dan Campbell kind of guy, right? The Rams and McVay, like, right, we're in trouble. Wait, one of our D tackles isn't ready. It's week 13. Right, hey, J.J. Watt, you want to come play? Like, you know, there's certainly a number of teams in football where I feel like you can look at J.J. Watt and go, yeah, that team I think would be open to having him in there, and if he's ready to go, you know, I think he'd think about it here, you know, at this point of his life.
I could envision a scenario where they would be blowing the horn in Minnesota for J.J. Watt if things go well this year offensively and they click, and Brian Flores would scheme up some ways to get the most out of J.J. Watt for the last half of the season. So I think that, number one, he knows what he's doing by saying what he said,
yeah.
just like Tom Brady
right.
3 weeks or so ago. We've heard nothing to suggest any team is seriously considering trying to call Brady now. We'll see during the season when injuries happen. And I'm tempted to say inevitably, but I don't know whether 2023 was an aberration or a start of a new trend.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, quarterbacks are getting injured everywhere.
Right.
That's not how it usually is.
No.
But every time a quarterback gets injured, because of what he said on that podcast where he was getting his hair cut or something, or maybe getting his plugs tuned up. But at least Peyton Manning did go there with the hair joke. I didn't think anybody would have the guts to say a hair joke, but he did make a hair joke about Brady last night. So well done, Peyton. I think everybody else was afraid to say anything about Tommy's hair. But during that podcast, you know, he made it clear that it would be something where he'd be showing up to play for a team that loses its starter. Every time somebody loses the starter, it's the first topic. Is that the team Tom Brady would go play for? And it really will be awkward if Brady's in the booth calling the game when the starting quarterback goes down, and Kevin Burkhardt, I think, is duty-bound
yeah.
to ask Brady in the
right.
moment, is this one of the teams you'd play for?
Right, and we hear a phone ringing in the back of the room and the off the Fox, you know, microphones, and we start to go, oh, damn, Brady, it's Don Yee. They're calling already. They need a quarterback. They want to know right here in live time, will you think about it? I hear you. And again, I don't feel like that's going to happen with Brady. I think there's a better chance with JJ, but I'm certainly not going to cancel it out. I know that. We'll see. We'll see where it all goes.
I've already said Brady should be like the guy who drives a Zamboni at the hockey games who serves as the emergency goalie. Just have him show up. Dan Patrick, I was on with him. He said, hey, just have him wear pads and a helmet in the broadcast booth ready to go.
Right.
Quarterback
right.
gets injured, run down there, put the right jersey on, and off you go. All right, Aaron Donald also retired this offseason, if you haven't heard. Les Snead, the GM of the L.A. Rams, was on Rich Eisen's show last week. Here is Snead on the possibility of Donald maybe coming back if the Rams get back to the postseason.
I did mention to Aaron that, let's call it going back to our Super Bowl run, that there was a player by the name of Eric Weddle, and we signed him to the practice squad. And we standard elevated him for four straight games to a Super Bowl championship. So I did mention if we happen to get to the playoffs again, maybe we'll circle back and see, you know, if the cup's not quite filled.
Really? Okay. So
but that's just rumor. I doubt Aaron's going to do that.
Well, I know that.
Aaron's one of those guys. He's so principled. I'm not sure if he would just he might feel uncomfortable that, you know what, I didn't go through those other 18 with the guys. I'm not sure I can go through the playoffs with him. Not sure. We may tempt him. Nothing. No breaking news here.
I think that there's something to what Snead was saying at the end. It's a matter of principle. And I think that Aaron Donald, one of the few guys, when he says I'm full, when he says I'm done, he really is done. He's pushed himself away from the table. He's not coming back.
I feel that way, too.
To forage.
Yeah.
He's done.
Right.
That's it. And you're right, at a certain level, and that's where it becomes awkward. You have the guys who have been there busting their asses. There's an injury. Well, what happens when there's an injury? Next man up. Oh, wait, no, we're bringing someone in. Sorry, Bill. It's next man up at all the other positions, but at your position, we're going to go get a guy who's been, you know, not with the team, even though we've been working to come together as one streamlined unit for the past 5 months. We're going to bring somebody else in. Now, if the guy's good enough, you say, okay, I get it, and that's part of what you deal with as a team. But as the guy who's the one horning in, when you're the outsider horning in, I think some people would have a natural trepidation, and I respect that. Just this idea of, this really isn't my thing. It's really not my place to show up here.
Right.
This is your thing.
Yeah.
You guys have done this.
Right.
You may feel like you need me, but you really don't. You need to come together and rally and go next man up and try to get it done without me. It'll be far more rewarding for you if you do it that way.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a part of you that, like, hey, you know, I think some players would go, well, I, you know, it doesn't feel right. I wasn't there a part of the blood, sweat, and tears, right, to get where they are. And now I'm like, hey, it's the awesome time of the year. Hey, there's some guys that doesn't sit well with. And, like, to your point, too, I'm a little bit of more of, like, I think Aaron Donald's the kind of guy that had thought this through for a while. And he was so all in for so long that he's, like, he needs out. And I also think Aaron Donald, being around him, knowing people with the Rams, right, he's such a perfectionist. I don't see him being that type of guy to go, oh, let me jump out there and now play, you know, B-minus football for what Aaron Donald's standards are, right? That's where I feel like that I just question that. I think Aaron Donald is such a perfectionist, such a psycho. You know, I got to work on this pec. I got to work on this tricep. I got to work on this glute. And he's so obsessed with it all the time. I don't know if he'll feel comfortable just running back out there knowing he didn't do all the stuff he needed to do that. I don't know that, but I know him, you know, enough to know he's got that type of stuff inside him that would make me question it at least a little bit.
And I think that's a great point. And I think we all need to appreciate, you just don't roll out of bed and fall into greatness. It requires work. It requires effort. It's a lot of stuff that happens when no one is watching, although nowadays some of the workouts do get filmed and put on social media, like Aaron Donald doing the thing with the knives. Remember that?
Oh, yeah,
that
right.
The knives. They weren't
right.
Real knives.
Yeah, right.
But it's still, you get a glimpse of the work, the effort that gets devoted to getting yourself to the point where you can blow up a line of scrimmage and send 300-pound guys onto their asses. You don't just get out of bed and do that. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes preparation. And I think Aaron Donald, and I respect this is a good thing, he's not going to want to come back and be anything less
yes.
than what we're
that's,
used to seeing.
That's what I feel like with Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald, I feel like, has a little of that, you know, what do you want to say, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders element of like, wait, this was my great. I don't want you to see me when I'm not great. I'm not that. I don't even want you to like think of me that way, right? I feel like there's that, but who knows? You know, again, we'll see where it goes. The Rams are the type of team that'll give them a call. We know that. And as you've always said, just like J.J. Watt, I'll be interested if it does happen, right? And the Steelers need somebody. If they ever call Aaron Donald or J.J. Watt, too, if this whole scenario played out that way to where that could be a possibility, it'd be interesting to see what happens.
Well, and a lot of it, too, comes down to the pitch that the coach,
yeah.
the GM, the right. owner, whoever makes.
Right.
Some coaches are going to be more persuasive than others. And if Mike Tomlin gets on the phone
mm-hmm.
and gets you to answer.
Yeah. McVay and Tomlin, they're persuasive.
They got a shot of yeah. talking you into doing it.
Right.
Yes. Now, I think for McVay, you would agree eventually just to get him to shut up.
Because you're a jerk.
Miles and I had a thing on Friday. We played a clip from McVay with Adam Schein. And, I mean, it's 11 on 10 the entire time. It's like, why is he mad at us? Just answer the question. And Miles pushed back on me because he's got a whole Rams connection, so he didn't want to be perceived as, you know, disloyal, I guess, to Sean McVay. But, dude, just you got to – there's strength in modulation. So anyway, yeah, Sean, please stop. Sean. Okay, Sean, I'll come back if you'll just stop. Just stop. All right, making friends. Winning friends and influencing people.
You're winning today.
That's
damn. Yeah.
Let's – oh, before we take the break, though, Courtney has found the
– what?
Aaron Donald death-defying – what could go wrong working out with the Knives?
Oh, my
Here
gosh.
This was from the Sunday Night Football account. Oh, nope, wrong one. There we go.
There you go.
Wrong Knives. Those are not actual blades, though. I think we established at
well,
some
don't
point.
Ruin
those
that. I like it blades. Better thinking they're real knives. I like it better that way. Oh, he just got stabbed.
Oh, man, he almost got it up in the head. Maybe they are real knives. But, yes, that would give you an incentive to block the knives because you don't want to have a jugular popped. While they're now, if the person filming, that's the thing. If that was a real knife and it goes into Aaron Donald, does the person keep filming or does the person go to assist? I don't know. That's a hell of a dilemma if you're the one holding the camera.
Yeah. Film for a few seconds, then try to help. We'd like to all see it.
That's up in Pittsburgh. That's up the road. See, UPMC. Yeah. That's up the road in Pittsburgh. That's where he spent most of his offseason. But that's why the Steelers would have a shot. If anybody's got a shot, Rams, maybe the Steelers, we'll see. All right, let's take a break. When we return, did the Jets find, they thought they had their successor to Aaron Rodgers and Zach Wilson. That didn't work out. Did they find their successor to Aaron Rodgers in this year's draft? That's next here on PFT Live.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Have you talked at all to Aaron since you've been drafted?
I only talked to him on draft night. I've texted him the last couple of nights. I'm just like a little kid. Like, you know, he's the adult. He's the MVP, Hall of Famer, all those type of things. So I'm just like a little kid talking to him all the time, texting him, trying to see what he's done to stay consistent in the league, the things that he's done to work on his mental health, how he's kept his body alive so long, you know. So I've had conversations with him. He said I can stay in his guest house if I want to. So, yeah, me and him are close. That's going to be my dog while I'm here.
Malachi Corley, possibly staying in the Aaron Rodgers guest house. Get ready to get questions about whether or not you believe 9/11 actually happened, Malachi. You're going to get indoctrinated into the Aaron Rodgers worldview. Sorry if that goes a little too far. Should have made some Aaron Rodgers jokes last night at the roast. There was some low-hanging fruit they could have plucked.
He wasn't there. I thought, you know, I'm shocked he wasn't there and part of the crowd as well, honestly.
At one point, a comment was made, and I can't remember who said it, about Aaron Rodgers backed out or wasn't able to come or something like that. It was part of a setup to a joke, and it made me think, is that real? Was he actually going to come at some point? Right. So, yeah, it would have been good if he was there. I think he's too cool for that. And also, if he shows up, they are going to take shots at him. And we know his skin is wafer thin. He ain't going to sit there and hear people talk shit about him. No way, no how. No way, no how.
You're on a roll today.
Am I wrong?
No.
Am I wrong?
You're just going right. to crap on everybody today. Hey, happy May,
Are
everybody.
You not entertained?
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
I am. I'm entertained. I am. Yes. Keep going.
This is the slow time. We gotta go out of our way to try to make this stuff more compelling.
When you come up here next week for, you know, the dog and pony show like you talked about, right, for all of that, I think you should go over to the Jets facility and start asking some of these hard-hitting questions with Rodgers and start it up.
Is he available next
Get
week?
Get it going.
Is he available on Monday?
I don't know. Just go. Whoever's available and just start going, have you asked Aaron about this? He said this. Yeah. And just go. And let's see. I mean, come up here and work a little bit. Do something for the company once in a while. Jeez. God.
Are you serious? You really want to go there? All right. Malachi Corley does indeed plan to stay at the Rodgers guest house. He was a third-round draft pick out of Western Kentucky. So, look, Rodgers trying to rectify what went wrong last year, trying to get the Jets into contention, and the benefit for the Jets this year, far less hype, far lower expectations, even though you could argue the team is better. And where they may be better is at QB number two. Beyond adding Tyrod Taylor, they have drafted Jordan Travis. Here is Travis from the Jets rookie minicamp this weekend on if he thinks about being the heir to Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, sir. I did think about that a lot. But right now I'm just focused where my feet are, just getting healthy and, I mean, getting everybody around me better, being a great teammate. Yes, sir.
Do you have any sense for where you would have been drafted, like where you would have fallen in the draft class if you weren't injured?
No, sir. I have no idea. I'm just happy I'm here. Yes, sir.
So you see yourself as a starter in this league?
Yes, sir. 100%. Yes, sir.
Fifth round, pick number 171. And this is an example of the CYA reality of the draft because we don't know that Jordan Travis is going to be healthy. We don't know that he's going to be the guy he was before he had the gruesome leg injury on sort of basically
hip drop.
A hip drop
hip
tackle.
Drop. Yeah.
Yeah, a hip drop tackle yep. that is legal, but, you know, at least at the NFL level, it's out, and hopefully it'll be out at other levels of the sport as well. If you pick the guy and he's never the same, you got to answer the tough questions in the team facility. You got the owner plopping his butt down in your office wanting to know why you thought this guy was going to be himself again when we saw what happened to his leg. Why did you use a third-round pick? Why did you use a fourth-round pick? So he lingers until round five, gets a chance to kind of take a back seat, no playing this year, get healthy, develop, and they may have a steal. They may have a guy who ends up becoming a great player. We know he was playing pretty damn well at Florida State before he got injured.
That's right.
He could get back on that trajectory. First, he's got to get healthy, and he's got a chance to do it because he goes in as, at best, the third option this year, if it even comes to that.
Well, I think that Jordan Travis, right, if he doesn't have the injury, certainly drafted probably a little higher than that. I don't know if it really would have mattered. Like we're seeing in the NFL in general anyways, if you don't go in the first round, then you almost don't go to the fourth round anymore. That's just the way it is, right? So not sure how much higher he would have been drafted, but either way, he was, and I think viewed around the NFL, and especially, you know, by me as well when watching the quarterbacks, to go after, you know, the big names in the draft, right? The kid from I'm blanking on the kid from South Carolina, the quarterback
Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, he's right.
Great name.
Right, thank you. Him, along with Jordan Travis, were the kind of the two guys you looked at to go, wait, they can play the game. They can play. They can make all the throws. They really know how to play the quarterback position, make reads. They have control of the football, right? Now, do they have enough high-end talent to be a starter? That's going to be the question with both of them. I think both of them, Jordan Travis included, of course, in this conversation, have a chance to be like long-time, awesome backup quarterbacks, right? But I think what they're going to have to show me and show other people in the league is, hey, when the play's not perfect like we always talk about or the window's really tight, do they have the type of arm to, you know, really drive it in there, throw a laser through a keyhole, you know, in a big moment, or do the stuff outside of the normal rhythm of the offense and the playbook, right, Mike? I think that'll be the big question. But either way, the kid can play, and I think where it is smart is that you got a guy like, if Tyrod Taylor is just a one-year backup type of thing, you got Jordan Travis there to be backup, maybe starter type of guy here for a long time in New York.
It really was a long fall from Bo Nix at 12 to the Broncos,
right,
to Spencer Rattler at 150,
yeah,
to the Saints, and
yeah,
then 21 picks later, it was Jordan Travis. 22 after that, it was Joe Milton. So you're right, that second, third-round quarterback, and maybe it's just a temporary thing. Maybe after this class, you know, half of them or more implode, we realize maybe you shouldn't overdraft quarterbacks in round one, but we'll see, and we'll see what happens with Travis. He's the one guy who fell to some degree,
yeah,
because of the injury,
right,
and maybe he can become a great player. By the way, Rodgers, no restrictions expected.
Whoa.
As the OTAs approach, and that's when we're supposed to hear from him by league rule during the OTAs and need to make him available at least once. We'll see, because we've agreed the next time he speaks with New York reporters will probably be kid gloves off, tougher questions of Aaron Rodgers, because a lot's happened in the past few months.
I would think the New York Times has like a legitimate, like, somebody there this time around.
Oh,
it's not even like a sports writer. It's like, no, this is somebody that's in the news and talking about, you know, some of the subjects he's delved into.
I think CNN will be there. Pamela Brown, because they, what was reported by CNN about Sandy Hook gets dismissed as third hand, fourth hand, whatever. Pamela Brown, the daughter of Phyllis George, who works at CNN, was the one he told the story to.
Right.
It's firsthand.
Right.
So if CNN really wants to stir this pot, she goes to ask the questions. Aaron, when you said to me at the Kentucky Derby in 2014, or, you know, whatever, however you set it up, but that's how they reported it. And we'll see how much of an issue they want to make of it. Of course, now it's less of an issue because he ultimately wasn't the running mate of RFK Jr. That was how this all became relevant. But there's a lot of stuff, and I think real news organizations will try to get credentialed. The question is, will the Jets say no to anybody who isn't usual, regular member of the press corps, the ones that they keep, you know, all teams do this. You keep them under the thumb. You don't want them to go too far beyond the boundaries of what it is that is acceptable, and you use the, hey, you know, you're not going to get access, you're not going to get credentialed as the hammer to keep everybody in line. All right, let's take a break. When we return, a little bit more. We already kind of emptied the tank a little bit about the Tom Brady roast, but we do have more observations.
I like it.
More clips we'll share with you.
Cool.
When PFT Live continues right after this.
And one more thing. In case Vladimir Putin you're watching, give me my f***ing ring back, will you?
That was the moment of the night. That was unexpected. I love that. I love that.
That's amazing.
The self-deprecation inherent to the joke, the, you know, stodgy owner dropping the F-bomb, I just thought that was great. And it's one of the all-time great NFL stories.
It really is.
Robert Kraft,
right,
in Russia with his ring, and as Robert Kraft explained it in the Apple documentary, Dynasty, colon, New England Patriots or something like that, he took the ring off, and Putin was like, I could kill someone with this. And then Putin just put it in his pocket and walked away.
Right, right.
He walked away.
That's amazing.
What a freaking baller move. He just took the ring and walked away.
Damn.
And it was just great. It was great. Now, I doubt that Vladimir Putin was watching it live. I wonder if someone will give him a clip of it.
Yeah.
And how things go from there.
Yeah. Be careful. Be careful being in Eastern Europe next time you're there, Mr. Kraft.
but I love that. That was, to me, the moment of the night, because I never would have expected that from from any owner. That to me was great.
Yeah, that's cool. I am like, at some point I'm going to turn this on and check it out. I am, you know, like I said, I kind of meant to watch it last night. And I'm disappointed I didn't see some of the scenes there, because I'm shocked by the setup. So I am enjoying kind of sitting here watching some of these clips and kind of just enjoying it for the first time here.
So there was one moment where it seemed like Brady was irritated.
Oh.
Jeff Ross, who I think is only known as guy who shows up at roasts, and they make fun of him about that. Like, where else has he been? What has he ever done? He just is at the roasts, and he's a good roaster, so that's his lane. He made a massage joke about...
Duh. Of course he did. I mean, what you're supposed to.
And Tom got up, right, came over, and said to this effect, don't do that shit again.
Oh, he's
that
sticking up for his guy.
Time,
he's sticking up for his guy.
That was the one
guy.
Time
yeah.
that anything drew a reaction
right.
along those lines was when Jeff Ross fired a little shot at the boss.
Damn. I'm that's, you know, Brady. Hey, we know Brady and Kraft, they're in cahoots there for sure, right? And, you know, Kraft has had Brady's back, like in Deflategate, as we talked about earlier in the show. But man, yeah, I figured somebody was going to go there. That's why I was like a little surprised at the whole thing. I mean, when I heard Mr. Kraft was there, I mean, that's, I'm not, you know, again, I'm a little dirty minded that way, but that's where my mind went a little bit. Oh, Mr. Kraft's going to be there? Well, damn, there's going to be a lot of massage parlor jokes that go off on Sunday night.
First of all, I've known you for 7 or 8 years now. I don't know how dirty minded you are, and I really don't want to know. I do know this. There's no filter. There's no filter between whatever you happen to think
right.
and what comes out of your mouth.
Exactly.
I've heard
right.
enough over
yes.
the years
yes.
to know.
Right.
But I just wonder, I wonder if any
there was
wink, nod,
there
assurances
was pre,
were made.
Pre things.
If you come,
yes.
if you come to
stay
the
away from
roast,
this, right?
That won't be. We're not gonna make fun of you. You're not gonna be the target of a bunch of massage jokes.
Right.
And you're sitting there, and we're gonna cut to the reaction of you sipping a drink while we're making fun of you. So that might have been,
yeah.
off limits.
Right.
That might have been why Brady
right.
went over to him. Really,
yeah.
that might, because in a roast, nothing's off limits unless you've negotiated in advance. It's going to be off limits. And obviously, as I said earlier, the Aaron Hernandez stuff was not off limits. And that's left some people feeling a little skittish, because that was a serious, ugly situation. People died. Aaron Hernandez committed suicide in prison. It was a troubling time for the NFL, a troubling time for the families of those affected by it. And it was the punchline of more than a few jokes last night. Even a Brady joke. Even Brady went there. That, I think, got some people to say, we know where the line is at these roasts, but, you know, guy who has no way to defend himself might be protected from just the constant body blows that he seemed to be getting.
Yeah, I hear you there. That, you know, that's definitely questionable. Is Ron Burgundy there? Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, that wasn't good. I'm a big Will Ferrell fan.
Yeah.
It was too long, and it wasn't funny. And it pains me to say that. But Will Ferrell is Ron Burgundy last night, and I mean, Elf, it's one of the great memories of my life, taking my son to see Elf and hearing him laugh nonstop for like the first half of the movie, and then it gets a little weird after that. But you know, I mean, I'm a fan of everything Will Ferrell does. That last night, missed. It wasn't funny. He's not good in the Ron Burgundy outfit anymore. And whatever, it's like he slapped whatever he could find at a thrift shop. It really wasn't a Ron Burgundy outfit. It was like, I need a coat, I need a tie, I need a shirt. And he literally stopped at a thrift store to buy all that stuff. That's what it felt like. It might have been objectively humorous at times, but it fell short of what we expect from Will Ferrell, especially Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
That was my opinion.
Okay.
It's hard to say that,
right.
but I'm not going to bullshit.
Hey, you're making friends
it,
everywhere
it was,
today. You have hit all parts of the life in the world. They all love you. They're, you
listen,
got your
listen,
buddies with everybody.
I don't
we know.
I'm
going to
have a I'm going to have a tube up my ass
right.
in 3 days.
Well,
I don't
yep.
care.
Tell them to shove it up there farther, okay? Do that. Say that for all of us out there, right?
Here's, speaking of guys who have a stick up their ass, here's some Bill Belichick from last night roasting Tom Brady.
But seriously, I'm so honored to be here for the roast of Tom Brady on Netflix. It's not to be confused. It's not to be confused with the roast of Bill Belichick on the 10-part Apple TV series. I see your soccer team, Birmingham City, got knocked down to another tier in the English Football League. So, you know, for those not familiar with English football and the intricacies to their obscure regulation system, just let me say, I'll put it in English for you, they suck. Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom? People have said that Tom and I have butted heads a lot, and in a way that was true, but not really. It was hard to butt heads with Tom because he was so far up Alex Guerrero's ass. You know, for all of you out there that think about who's responsible for the Patriots' success during the time when Tom and I were there, was it Brady, was it me, was it Brady, was it me? In reality, the truth of the matter is, it was both of us because of me.
That's good. I like it.
I didn't know if there was going to be a joke about Birmingham City getting relegated. It's kind of hard to work that in to get people to understand what it's all about, but Bill found a way.
He did it.
To poke fun at Tom. Tom just got involved with the team last year, chairman of the advisory board, not just some ceremonial thing, and they got relegated for the first time in 30 years. They're at the third tier of the pecking order in English soccer. So good job, Bill, getting that one in there. There were some jokes that you could tell some of the people on the dais had no idea what it was about because they're not really ardent football fans. But it's worth watching for as long as you can and then stopping. I watched it as long as I could. I stopped, and now I'm kind of cherry-picking bits to make sure that I caught everything. One of the things that, and let's, before we get there, this is a good question that Courtney has put in the sheets, which means I'm supposed to, you know, say it out loud
because
it is a good question.
Right.
Has Belichick, and I've been saying, if he's going to coach again or at least try to coach again next year, try to get a job, he's got to ingratiate himself to fan base. He's got to make himself likable between the McAfee appearance with the draft night thing and this roast. He's going to be on the Manning cast. Peyton Manning essentially confirmed that last night. Has he made this pivot to making himself more likable?
Yes. And I think it's all, you know, because of what you're talking about. It's staying relevant, repair image, repair relationship with, you know, Joe Smith watching on TV. So they realize, wait, you might want me to be your head coach next year. I don't think there's any doubt. I think it's all tactical. I think he's very smart that way. I think that does nothing but make him look good last night. Right, it shows he's not petty at all. He's not worried about. Yeah, he got character assassinated. Right, in the documentary. Anybody you talk about, that's the way it is. But he still showed up, had fun, smile on his face. The McAfee thing, I think, is perfect. We know how popular McAfee is, especially with the younger generation too. And he doesn't really have to have dialogue with anybody there. They just sit there and go. Go ahead, Bill. Tell us about football. It's story time. So he can literally just like stand up there and be like, hey, guys, McAfee, blah, 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 rest of the crew. Here it is. Boom. And I'll do it. You know, we'll talk that way. And of course, you know, Peyton Manning's going to set it up the same way as well, with let alone he knows they have this great, great relationship where him and Peyton are going to laugh and have jokes. And ultimately, it's going to make Bill look good. So, yeah, I think this is smart, good for him. It really is. Belichick, in my words, has been shit on too much in the last year and a half. Sorry, Birmingham. Yeah, way too much. And it's good to see, you know, some people see this other side of him a little bit.
You saw the clip there, if you're watching on Peacock, of Kevin Hart kind of brokering a truce, a peace between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. Some very nice things said by Kraft, in contrast with the report from ESPN.com from about 3 weeks ago, suggesting he had some not very nice things to say about Belichick to Falcons owner Arthur Blank. And there was some joking about Belichick not having a job. That was low-hanging fruit, and that happened last night as well. But shots for Belichick and Kraft.
Damn.
Kraft telling the world that one of the great things that's ever been bestowed upon him by the Almighty was having
what
both
kind of
Tom
shot
Brady
did they do?
Belichick.
Was it vodka or tequila? What was it?
I don't know. I don't know. At an event like that, though, I'd want mine to be water, yeah, just in case, especially if they expected me to say anything coherently eventually. Peyton Manning,
yeah,
mentioned earlier, he was a surprise of the night, not listed as one of the potential attendees. Kevin Hart was setting it up like he was going to introduce Tom Brady. Instead, he introduced Peyton Manning, who introduced Tom Brady after that. Here's a little bit of Peyton Manning poking some fun at hashtag Tommy.
Honestly, it is great to be here with a bunch of people sitting around talking smack about Tom Brady. Or as we call that in the Manning family, Thanksgiving. True story. After spending several Thanksgivings with my parents, my kids now excuse themselves to use the bathroom by saying, I have to go take a Brady.
That was good.
I'm not
that
shocked that he was the best one.
By the way, yeah, did you see your buddy Julian Edelman there?
I did.
Apparently,
right.
I haven't watched his bit.
Yeah.
You know, he's a big fan of the show, and he really likes you and me personally. I haven't seen his bit, but I've heard from others. His was over the top, across the line, too much. Like, maybe, you know, there's some HGH you can take for comedy, and maybe he had a little too much of it.
Damn, boom. Yeah, you're just friends all around. Bouquets for everybody today. I know. But we'll see. We'll see. I know. Yeah, I don't know what to say there. I don't know what to say.
Chicken shit. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
See, I'm at the point where I have reached a sweet spot in my life where I can envision my looming mortality, and I just don't care. I'm not going to pull punches. Not that I ever did, but I just really don't care. I guess I'm inspired by the spirit of the roast. I'm just going to say whatever the hell I want to say.
I like it.
They let me say it.
Go for it.
And it may not be much longer.
Go for it.
It may not be much longer. Courtney's telling me to break, and I don't think it's because of time.
You said nobody's getting canceled anymore, so don't worry. Just keep going. Let it go, man. Let it fly.
PFT Live right after this. There's Jameis Winston. I don't know if he's getting ready to eat a W there. Oh, he's getting ready to
eat a W later on in videos. I like the outfit, though.
Is.
I like it.
There he is at the Kentucky Derby.
Little pink.
Styling.
Yeah. Cool hat.
That
top
is
button
nice.
Swag.
Nice hat.
Yeah.
All across the board, Jameis Winston pulled it off. I wish I could hear what he's saying, because anytime Jameis talks, I want to listen. Also at the Kentucky Derby, which did very well. It was the 150th running, 16.7 million viewers on NBC and Peacock for the Kentucky Derby. There's Will Levis.
Hey, I liked
the
his outfit
Titans
too.
Quarterback.
You see that? You see what he went with, like a little bit? Like the three
piece. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, exactly right. Like old school horse rider, right? Like, or old school, like 1927, like press.
I think he's trying to solve a crime. I think
right.
He's using his iPhone instead of a magnifying glass.
Exactly. Or he's at a press conference with like Babe Ruth and he's like, hey, champ. Champ, champ, you took a big swing today. How did it work out, sport? Hey, sport, sport. That's what he looks like, but I really liked it.
Your favorite quarterback of all time was there.
There he is.
Is that top button? I thought I saw him open collar. That's open collar.
That's
I can't
open.
See if he's
there was a lot of top button swag going
no
on.
No ties, though.
Yeah.
No ties. Look, see, Aaron doesn't wear a tie. Here's what happens. They all show up together, and they all have ties. Aaron walks in. He doesn't have a tie on. All those guys, I guarantee you, have their ties stuffed in their pockets. They all took their ties off because the boss didn't have a tie on.
I don't know about that. This, I think Travis Kelce won the coolest suit and look award right there. I kind of liked
real
it.
Question.
I dig it. Now, he looks like he's hanging out with Al Capone and he might pull out his Tommy gun, but I love it. I think it's a great look, you know, that you could sport at the Derby.
I got a question about that jacket, because we can't tell from that picture.
Did you want
does it have a crotch?
Does it have a wiener sleeve? I don't know if it's got a wiener sleeve. I'm not sure if they got it on there. I'm not sure.
Remember, Isaiah Pacheco. That's clean. That doesn't really scream out Kentucky Derby. That could be pretty much anywhere where you're dressing up.
Classic.
A bit, right?
There's it's classic.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Yeah. Works well for him. And then finally, Amon-Ra St. Brown there as well, taking the photo of himself in a mirror. I guess that's the photo he posted, obviously. One last thing. Remember last year when Travis Kelce wore the crotch sleeve jacket to host SNL, and then Bryce Young showed up with the kids version of the same jacket for the draft 2 months later?
Oh, yes.
That same jacket.
We remember.
Which is like $3,000.
Yeah, I don't know. It apparently did not catch on with the rest of the world because I don't see anybody wearing it.
There is no trend sweeping the nation. Hey, kids, get a jacket that has an extra sleeve that hangs down over your junk. Let's take a break. Empty life right after this.
You should wear it in Football Night in America this year. Stop being Dr. Doom, okay, Dr. Doom?
No, I'm not being Dr. Doom. There's an imbalance to this concept of, because of the messed up you did during your life, you're banished forever. All eternity of burning in a lake of fire. At some point, you kind of get used to it. Like, if it's never going to end, why not just get comfortable? I mean, what the hell? You're here for eternity. That was last week. We continued the conversation on Friday regarding whether or not hell exists. I've gotten plenty of emails enlightening me in both directions. Hell does exist, and you are going to be damned to hell, versus you're absolutely right. There is no hell. God wouldn't do that to the creatures he loves. Why would he banish us to the fires of hell for all eternity? I guess we'll all find out in our own time. One thing we found out over the weekend, there's a beef between Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
You're so old.
Drake. I don't even know who the hell they are. I know who Drake is because he's been around for a long time.
Right.
Kendrick Lamar, I would not know him if he came up and kicked me.
You would know. You would know. I bet you know two or three songs from Kendrick Lamar that you've heard over the years. You have. Right. That's right. Play that thing. He knows this song.
We're going to have to. Don't. We're going to have to send 50,000. Oh, that, play that. Yeah, don't play the Kendrick Lamar song.
Look,
we're gonna have to
out of it. You thought this was a Kendrick Lamar song. That's how bad old you are.
Yeah,
like right. You're like, oh, okay. Let's see why the kids like him. No. I guarantee you know Kendrick Lamar songs. There's been too many that have played on commercials, whatever else. I don't understand the root of the beef. It had been going on for about a week to 10 days, and it got serious, and I don't really get where it all came from, and I'm not cool enough to know anymore, but it sounds like Kendrick Lamar is winning the rap battle between the two and you know, crushing each other there.
We are cool enough to know NFL beefs, though. So inspired by the Lamar-Kendrick-Drake beef, close enough, here are the best NFL beefs of all time. Give me one.
Well, I'm going right off the bat with the Battle of the Gyms. I mean, what? Like, we've never seen a fight on the field between two head coaches after a game and a melee breaks out because one coach who's a psycho, you know, had something said to him by the other coach about you won't get ready, you know, without practice in a strike year. And he took that personal, like, this is going to be hard. And he does this. This is amazing. This is like an end of a movie or a show right here. This is incredible when they went at it.
Well, and Jim Schwartz is doing the hold me back, hold me back, hold me back. And you know, Schwartz is with the Browns. Harbaugh's with the Chargers. I haven't checked whether or not they play each other this year, but maybe they'll get a chance to renew acquaintances. My book, Playmakers, has the whole story, everything that happened, why he pulled his shirt up and showed us that hideously white, like, go to the beach, Jim, stomach that he had at the time and probably still has, and not that mine is tan either, but there's the whole story, everything that led to it, everything that happened that day that sparked it. It's all in a chapter in Playmakers, so check it out there. First one for me has got to be Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Because how much longer could they have dominated the National Football League in the 90s if Jerry Jones hadn't felt compelled to run off the guy that built a championship team? He built a team so good that they literally threw a shoe and hit a coach and brought him in, and he won a Super Bowl with the team that Jimmy Johnson built in his second year with Barry Switzer. It's amazing what Jimmy Johnson did with that team, and it's sad if you're a Cowboys fan that the plug got pulled before they got a chance to see how far Jimmy Johnson could have taken it. But Jerry Jones couldn't stand the spotlight being claimed by Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, it stinks. It really does. Ego's got in the way there for sure. And, yeah, it does seem like a little more is blame goes on Jerry Jones's shoulders in that one. And you're right. We were cheated out of how great they could have been, right? They're all on record saying they were worse without Jimmy Johnson, and they still won a Super Bowl and went to the NFC Championship game. So pretty incredible. Do you want me to make my quick pick here?
Make it quick.
All right.
Quick.
Well, I mean, I'm going something in the family. I mean, I'm going Ronnie Lott and Phil Sims. What? That's coming up next. I mean, yeah, again, there's only been a few times where we've seen actual post-game fight in your face type of stuff, and this is right here in 1990. I'm 10 years old. I'm pissed. I'm probably crying that the Giants lost. They're both 10-1 Monday Night Football. And, yeah, you know, a fight started during the week. Ronnie thought my dad said something to Jim Burt. Jim Burt kind of lied about it just to get the defense fired up with the 49ers. And they kind of go at it here for, you know, it goes on for another 4 or 5 minutes there of them getting in each other's face.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to cram in the final three picks when we come back. And if we don't get it done, Chris and I are going to have a beef. More PFT Live right after this. All right, more picks to go. Best NFL beefs. And for me, this was one of those oh crap moments when the game happened. I think it was a Sunday night. The Houston Oilers,
yeah.
Buddy Ryan, defensive coordinator, had enough of our good friend Kevin Gilbride and punched him in the face. I mean, caught him. Kind of glancing, but still got him good. That was one of those moments that you'll never forget. There comes Buddy and punches the guy in the face during the game.
Yeah, that I'll never forget that either. Who were they playing that night? But you're right, it was Sunday Night Football.
I think it was the Chiefs.
ESPN.
I feel like it was the Chiefs.
I was
going to
say it was the Steelers. I don't know why I thought it might be the Steelers. But either way, yeah, that's one of those you'll never forget, right? You don't see that happen. It's very rare. Coaches on the same team fighting each other, right? We know how it's a very military that way. My last one, I'm going to go with one I was front and center for. Andre Johnson versus Courtland Finnegan. The battle. And the best part of it was, right, Shanahan had been coaching the Houston Texans and was so aware of, like, don't let Courtland Finnegan bait you into a fight, Andre Johnson. And this is, like, one of the first few plays of the game. And Andre Johnson just said, the hell with the game. I'm going to beat the crap out of Courtland Finnegan. And, of course, he got kicked out, and that was all she wrote right there. It got serious.
The last one for me, and this was amazing, and I remember that. And to get Andre Johnson upset, and Courtland Finnegan had that ability to get under the curve of guys who were fairly mild.
He was amazing.
Did he do it to A.J. Green at some point?
I think
he got A.J. Green,
he's
too.
He's amazing.
So look this up. In the 70s, George Atkinson of the Raiders sued Chuck Knoll for defamation because of a hit that Atkinson put on Lynn Swann. It went to trial. Chuck Knoll won. Could you imagine if something like that happened today? A player sued a coach, and it was kind of a Al Davis thing involved as well. It was a big deal. A lot of acrimony between the Steelers and the Raiders back in the 70s. That's it for today. Go watch the Tom Brady Bros. Chris,
see ya
tomorrow.
Justin and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.